Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 373. Different arrangement tonight, different group. We're down three and plus one, so.
So that makes us down two.
Right, we're net down two. But let's see if we can just even it out and do such a good show. We'll see.
Well.
Josh is at a work thing, Mike is at a Sammy Hagar concert, and Dave was worried about weather.
So Dave's not here, man.
Dave's not here, man. Well, young Dave's not here.
That's true, yeah.
But we do have a guest podcaster, maybe a new member of the podcast. We'll see if we don't scare him off. Pat.
I've only done that to two people.
Right. And Mike came back, so.
Yeah.
But I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Look at that. You figured that out all by yourself. See? Some people couldn't handle that. I won't throw the closing on you unprepared. Okay. Fear not. I did that to Mike and he panicked. So. That was kind of funny. I enjoyed that, actually.
Just shows you that he's never listened. If he doesn't
But I mean, I'm sure most, you know, people don't necessarily focus on the minutiae of the etiquette of the podcast. Mm. So, not like you, Spencer.
No.
Most people probably stop listening.
That's true.
When it comes to Archie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just tune out. I get it.
Yeah.
So, not a lot of news. The biggest thing I've seen is the rumor of DC's going to be shuttering Vertigo. They announced some new books. I don't remember specifically what they are. And I did see a post by one of the sales guys on the forum saying they're still putting out those books and they're committed to them. But he did it in such corporate speak that they might be moving over to Black Label or something. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on. And
see,
they haven't announced
though.
Anything.
Why cancel Vertigo?
Yeah, I agree.
To go to Black Label? Because my understanding is Black Label is mainstream DC characters, but on a mature audience
I agree.
Level.
And what's the point of canceling Vertigo? It's there. Why cancel it? Just
make it good again.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, but why not, instead of doing that, say, hey, let's revitalize it. Let's bring back Hellblazer as a Vertigo book. Let's bring back Swamp Thing as a Vertigo book. I think those things could work out.
Yeah, but even if you don't do that, it just... When you reprint Preacher or Sandman, why not put a Vertigo? Like, is there a cost to maintain that? Like, I don't think so.
I don't think so. So it strikes me very odd. No. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it just seems an odd thing to do.
Unless it's just a matter of corporate accounting, and you know, this division isn't making any money, so we'll shutter the division.
But why? You know, again, if it's not costing you money to keep it open and do the occasional book from that line, it's just a DC book. It's not necessarily...
Oh, I get you. Get you.
But I do see the reason to not put out, like, new single issues for Vertigo, because, like, I don't think they can't compete in a creator-owned space.
Right.
With their terms, so...
No.
Why would any new material come to Vertigo? And if all you have is Swamp Thing and a lot of stories that were intended to be kind of like Preacher run their run and then be done, like, there's not a lot to go back to there.
But even just, you know, it's also a forum for things, you know, like a horror book, a book that doesn't necessarily fit in the DC comic proper universe.
But that's what Black Label is.
But again, Black Label is more for like a Batman story with a twist and things like that, where this could just be, you know, just a flat out horror book like they've done.
Yeah.
Like, we just got what just came out. Tim was commenting on it. Imaginary Fiends just came out as a trade. It had been out at his issues a long time ago. And that's like a strict horror where, like, your imaginary friend is actually a monster.
Well, we're thinking like Sheriff of Babylon.
Yeah, wouldn't fit.
It wouldn't
in
really
DC
fit in mainstream
proper.
DC. But the nice thing is that you can keep Tom King from going somewhere else.
Yeah,
and maybe, you know, here you can kind of write your own thing, but you're still staying as part of the fold.
Yeah, make it so he doesn't go to like an Image or something to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it just seems odd to shutter a division that you just let it be dormant.
I looked to see if
Sorry, scratchy throat. But that's the only news I really saw. Anybody else see anything of note? importance?
I saw their, they canceled Deadly Class.
And Happy. I'm very disappointed by that.
Not happy with that?
Well, I think they're going to get shopped around.
Hopefully.
Because I think Deadly Class will get picked up.
Yeah.
I'm not as optimistic about
Happy. No, but I did like Happy. I enjoyed Happy. And it definitely ended on a note that next season could be very, very interesting.
I think the fact that it had more than one season was pretty interesting. It was only a 6-issue mini.
Yeah.
Or was it 4 issues?
I think it was 4.
I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah. But I did enjoy that.
No.
I literally just watched the last episode.
Did you see the there's a little bit of a controversy. I don't know that it's a real controversy, but for the new X-Men books, they're doing a promotion with seed packets.
Yeah, and I don't know what they are.
I guess the new Power of 10 and Power X is going to be have something to do with
points. House of 10 and Power
of House of...
No, I'm kidding.
House of... yeah. So I saw that, and I thought that's the stupidest promotion
I agree.
I have ever...
And what are they going to be?
Did anybody read this?
No, but it's really, really popular.
The cover looks...
It's doing well. Yeah, it's good. It's Karen Gillan.
It?
Yeah. Die.
Die?
Yeah.
Not die, die,
not,
die.
Not,
die.
Not,
no,
not,
just die.
One die.
But it's one of the $9.99 books, so... Yeah. The issues have sold. They've gone through multiple printings and stuff, so...
Looks interesting.
Yeah. I only read the first issue, but it was...
The other news story was they're going to make there's talks of making a Django Unchained Django sequel.
The D side.
Based off of Django. Making a sequel off of, I guess, it's a Dynamite DC crossover?
Yeah.
I never read it. I'm wondering if anybody else.
Django and Zorro.
Zorro.
Yeah.
Buried the lead there a little.
I thought that they should just bring either him into the future or his great-great-grandson, John Shaft, into the past.
So I would see a Django Zorro movie, but I don't know.
That's kind of, I mean, I didn't read the comic. I haven't seen the movie either, but I mean, that seems like a really odd combination. Because I've seen enough Quentin Tarantino movies to know what his characters are like, and I don't know how that interacts with kind of the traditional Zorro.
Yeah, because Django, there's like extreme violence.
Yeah.
And Zorro, he doesn't kill anybody, he just puts a Z on their chest.
But if they bring back Antonio Banderas, I will go see that.
I don't know how old is he.
What about George Harrison from Zorro the Gay Blade?
I haven't seen that movie
probably
40 years.
No, but I enjoyed it. I remember enjoying
it
as a Ute.
As a Ute?
As a Ute.
The two Utes.
No.
Oh, you're overthinking it?
Not at all.
Okay.
I was just going next if there's no more news. I was figuring out where I'm going to go. I don't have any rants. We got a question from Lord Retail about Doomsday Clock, but we will get to that. But we do have questions from IBT. Hang on, sorry.
I was going to say, if that's all one set of questions, I'm out.
It is not. I just stuck his questions in with the invoice, so I'd have...
This is an audio
media,
I know you don't know, but Colin has, like, 15 pieces of paper.
No, it's just
the
invoice.
Oh, wait,
he's
going
to start a bowling league or something.
No, I stuck it with the invoice so I'd have the right one, as opposed to last week when I grabbed the wrong set of questions and started re-asking them because I did not remember them from the week before. So,
who's a better bowler? Green Goblin or Captain America?
Ooh.
Captain America.
No, Green Goblin has the moves, but
yeah.
Well, I think Captain America would have the moves more than Goblin, though.
Well, no, but he's used to throwing
the
pumpkin bombs. Where Cap,
that's
more
Cap
of an overhand with the shield.
Cap's got to put on bowling shoes. Green Goblin can just use the glider.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
He's but you got to be careful not to.
Yeah, he might
the
go.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you might
It'd
get
be hard
more
to stop.
Faults.
I don't
yeah.
know. Is it a foul if you're levitating?
I think if you go over the line, yeah, but if
you
go over
the line,
though, no, true.
Are you going to argue with the Green Goblin?
True, no. Okay.
especially if it's Willem Dafoe.
Oh, you're going to like this first question.
Okay.
Are you ready? What's better, Rocky movie training montages or A-Team TV montages where they're busy prepping for a battle and getting stuff done?
Yeah, it's A-Team.
Yeah, I got to go A-Team too.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
You get the welder out and like that's perfect right
there. Vacuum cleaner hose.
Yeah, MacGyver has nothing on this.
Disassembling a dryer.
I would have to go Rocky. I've watched more Rocky than A-Team.
You poor deprived child.
I'm not denying that.
Which villains would you like to see in the new Batman movie? Any traction for a Crazy Quilt nomination?
Depends on if they get Tom King to write it. I'd go with Crazy Quilt.
No, if they get, I'd rather do a Kite
Crazy
Man.
Quilt.
No one does.
No,
but that's
I'd go with Kite Man from Tom King.
Yeah.
I understand not wanting to redo villains they've already done, but I think you also want to do a villain that is familiar. I think maybe like a better Mr. Freeze, to disassociate it from the Arnold one. My concern is you don't want to do a Joker again.
Hush.
I don't know if you want to do Penguin again, because I do think Penguin was done very well in the Batman Returns.
I want to see Hush, because it forces them to go into a detective story as opposed to a straight-up action story.
Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking something similar, like maybe Man-Bat.
Yeah.
Where like, you know that there's the Man-Bat, but you don't like know who is transforming into the Man-Bat. You can have like a, you know, a
Kurt Langstrom. Oh, sorry.
But
Clayface, because he's always... But it also it's difficult too, because like if it's for this new movie, if it's supposed to be more of an origin, it's kind of like you don't want to introduce those big ones that like at first you.
See, I thought it wasn't going to be an origin.
I don't know.
He's in his 30s now, right? What's his name? Twilight guy.
Right, Pattinson.
Pattinson, yeah. So
that's okay.
In his 30s,
but whereas Affleck near 50. And the whole thing I never got with Affleck was he was Batman at the beginning of his career, but in his 40s. That never made sense to me.
No, he
in Batman versus Superman,
no,
he was
what,
not
what
the beginning
a 20 year career in Gotham.
Really? Because the police were like, it was still a myth.
No, because
he
was around and went away.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And came back.
Okay. See,
remember
there was
the whole Robin suit that it had ha ha ha.
Right, I got that, but I just remember him being in the rafters and the police not
Robin
believing
he
existed. He
decided to be back.
I think it's because he was gone for so long and then came back.
And the fact that I only ever saw it once and really have no plans to see it again.
The ultimate cut is much better, but their mom's name is still Martha, which makes them besties.
Yeah. But and Doomsday's mom was
that
Martha.
Warehouse
that was a weird
rescue
yeah.
scene of Martha, though. That's the best scene in any Batman movie.
Someone took that and recut it with the song "Who's the Batman" from the Lego Batman movie. It lines up perfectly, and it's hilarious.
I'll have to Google that.
Okay. Number three: do Austin Powers movies still hold up today, or is the humor dated?
They didn't hold up when they were made.
Yeah, I don't know. I really haven't rewatched them lately. I'm sorry.
I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been a new one.
And Pat, does it make you Randy? Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
The second one does with
Heather Graham.
I have a very soft spot for Roller Girl.
The second one is actually the only one I liked.
Yeah. The second one I think is the funniest.
Yes. Yeah. I remember when I saw it in the theater, I was in a foul mood. My boss at work and I went into that movie, and I laughed so hard at that movie just because I think I was in such a foul mood. Mm-hmm. It just struck me even funnier.
Yeah, I think the third one, I was in college when that came out, and I downloaded it illegally on Kazaa or something like that. That was like
the era.
Past,
yeah.
But that was the worst of them.
I thought the first one was the worst. I didn't find it funny at all. I don't even remember why I saw the second one. I think it was because I was up in Tacoma, Washington with absolutely nothing to do. It was like, okay, we'll go see it. And I thought that one was funny, but...
Yeah, the first one, Dr. Evil, is funny. That's...
Yeah, okay.
And then the second one where they're like going to see the family therapist and stuff, I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah.
The second one had Fat Bastard and...
Yeah, yeah. get in me belly. That was funny.
He's got a baby.
That was good. Earworms, a phenomenon where a specific song gets stuck in your head can lead to insanity. I think we all can agree. Which earworm song was the most recent one in your mind?
Baby Shark. I love that song.
Okay, and the question was, and was it Taylor Swift's Shake It Off? So.
No.
Shake It Off came out like 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Uh-oh. We just got one. We'll get to that.
Yeah. You print out the questions, and you have your phone right in front of you.
Well, no, he...
This is all from one guy.
This is all just one guy sends this.
Okay, so he gets a special...
I just print it because it's easier.
Okay.
Okay, last I looked, Busick and Perez's JLA Avengers trade paperback was going for $100, $150 on the eBays. Is it worth the price? If the answer is, Matt, I don't know, I never read it, then the answer... Then answer this. Is Superman truly worthy to hold Mjolnir? It's not worth the price. The reason it's worth the price is because it's not in print, because the companies can't get along, and that's why the price is up, because it's out of print, hard to find. That's the only thing. I read it a while ago. I don't remember it being great, but it's literally only that much because it's out of print.
It's one of them emigrams, right?
Yeah, amalgams.
Amalgams. Yeah.
But if it ever comes back into print, the price will go right back down. But Superman is worthy to hold. Yeah,
no, no, it can't. It's magic.
That's true.
That's a good point.
So that's true.
Superman is like
Shazam. Good point, but he is worthy enough. But yeah. Okay. Oh, and I have no idea on this next. Oh, there you go. He gives the answer. Very nice. 1980s sitcom trivia time. Family Matters was a spinoff from what show?
Perfect Strangers.
I never watched Family Matters, so I can't answer that. But that.
Oh man,
that
I used to love Urkel.
Yeah, because he was the cop.
Yeah, Carl Winslow was the cop. I think he was the cop in everything.
I was going to say he was the cop from Die Hard.
So and he was in Ghostbusters too.
I think, but Carl, he was on it for a while, and then they brought his wife on, right?
No, his wife was on first because she was the elevator operator in their building where they work, and it was only like one floor. It was completely, it made no sense, but then they brought Carl on.
I don't want your garbage, Tim.
I don't remember her being on that show.
Yeah, she was.
All I remember is the blonde ladies, their dates.
Yeah.
Or their girlfriends. They don't make shows that terrible anymore.
No.
And it's mildly.
I mean,
offensive.
They might. I just don't. There's a lot I don't watch anymore. Because I'm sure there's a lot of shows on like TBS and stuff that I've never seen. So.
That's the thing. There's so many more channels. Some of them have to have crap on. Not everything can be The Sopranos.
Stuff on. Yeah. I remember. When you're flipping through the channels looking for something to watch, and it's like. What? Dr. Pimple Popper? What?
That's an actual show.
I've never watched it.
Oh, it's based on like a YouTube channel. It's a doctor who pops pimples. She has a YouTube channel and they gave her a show based on the success of the YouTube channel. Sure. But the thing I learned about today, there's a show called Mr. Mercedes, which is
based on the Stephen King book.
Yeah.
It's on AT&T Network. Where do you...
I don't know. I bought the DVD when it came
out. AT&T owns DirecTV, so it's probably on that.
So if I have a satellite dish, then I'd probably get it.
Yeah, I saw
But if you don't, I think you're SOL. Yeah.
I saw the first season on DVD, and that's how I picked it up and watched it.
Yeah. Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look for that, because I just started watching the, the Joe Hill one that just premiered.
Nosferatu.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm not good enough that I'm going to pay $5 to watch the whole season now.
Yeah.
I'll wait for it week to week, but that was good.
Okay, and last one. Who would win in a fight, Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel? Current movie versions, what about current comic books, and, well, in general, across all mediums? I'd say in classic comics, Wonder Woman wins. Movie versions, I'd say Captain Marvel, because they've ramped up her powers unbelievably.
Did you guys see that Wonder Woman poster movie?
I saw the poster. Yeah, that looked good. Looks fun.
Yeah,
but they're not going. They're not going to be at San Diego. So
right. Well, they're not going to be in Hall H. So
yeah. Well, so we probably won't get a trailer for that or for Birds of Prey or I'm surprised that they're not, though, for the Joker movie. Because we got that one trailer,
that was
which
awesome.
Looks really good. I mean, because I had no desire to see that movie at all. And then that trailer's like, okay, I kind of want to see this now. But I kind of think a less is better approach with this movie might work.
Yeah, the more you show kind of can take away from
it.
Yeah. I feel like they've shown a lot of that, though. Just that, even in that one trailer.
Okay.
So,
I mean, it definitely doesn't look like it's... I don't think it will stray too far from the Killing Joke. But I don't think it's going to be the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that part of the Killing Joke anyway. It has some hints of, like, Psycho and some other things in it, too.
That reminds me of some music I heard. It's Jason Fabok, right?
Fabok.
He's working on the Three Jokers.
Yeah, he's been working on that a while.
But, like, he said he was half done with it.
Okay.
So if he's half done... probably get a release date soon, but that's one that I'm the Black Labels that I'm actually really looking forward to.
Yeah, that was one of the, I mean, that was one of the first reveals in the Rebirth.
Yeah,
was that even Rebirth or was that at the end of Darkseid War?
I thought it was in the Rebirth special.
Well, they mentioned there being three different Jokers, but I think whenever the Rebirth stuff happened is when they announced the actual book.
Okay, yeah.
Well, no, because they came out the same day.
Okay.
Rebirth and the last issue of Doomsday War came out.
Darkseid War.
Or Darkseid War came out. Yeah, Doomsday, Darkseid. Thanos.
They're different.
Snaps.
Thanos.
Everybody just snapping everywhere.
No.
Han Solo.
Okay, so that's the end of questions, as far as I can tell. Let me make sure.
What about Mr. Lord Wood Retail?
He just asked a question about Doomsday Clock that I'm sure we will get to that. Did a question about Vertigo. Okay, so we talked about that. Okay. Who read something they want to talk about?
Let me check my list of books
I read. I read seven books. Seven. And two super big, thick ones.
I read eight.
They count for like seven each. So.
Amazing Spider-Man 22.
I was going to try, but I didn't get to
read that
one,
sir.
That was the end of the Hunted storyline.
Yeah.
I think it was a good cap off. Like, in it, it felt a little rushed, honestly.
They added an issue?
Yeah.
But they, ultimately in it, Kraven puts on Spider-Man's outfit, and then his son kills him, which is, I don't know. I liked that series up till then, other than those issues. Those probably should have just been incorporated a little better into the storyline and, you know, put it over. Like,
the only one you really needed out of those ones were, like, the Vulture one was the only one that really added on, because who cares about the Gibbon, you know, his backstory, and the Lizard one, maybe, just because he looked like he was going to play a role, but then didn't really.
Yeah. I think the lizard one, like, it didn't need to be a standalone issue. They could have just easily just put it in there. So, I read Batman Last Night on Earth, number one.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I
didn't read any of the previews because I'm like,
no,
I'm going to read it. I don't need to read the previews to get it. It's going to give me a snippet that's going to give away something. So,
So I really liked it, but I wish the whole book would have been the first chapter. Like, I continued that storyline where it's all in his head and he killed his parents and he's bound. Keep that storyline because that was good. Was it Dr. Al Ghul who was teaching him martial arts?
Yeah.
We tried
Redmond
to drown
Hood
in a
spa.
Yeah.
Redmond Hood.
Yes.
Like, I was like, okay, this.
Yeah, you know, like, they're just kind of like having fun with everything that they've.
But then it got weird, like when the Joker was in talking, and then a fly kept going everywhere. It's like, okay, what's up with the fly? But I did like how when he found the Joker head hanging, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, what do I know? My, you know, oxygen things are clogged with sand and stuff. So I'm very, yeah, I'm quite intrigued as to where this goes.
Yeah.
3 issues bi-monthly, so.
Oh, is it bi-monthly?
Yep. Yep.
Well, we'll see. We're still waiting on Batman Damned.
But Capullo is
that's had its own. That's had its own issues. But yeah, very interesting.
We need the third one. Yeah.
Just where, you know, then going down underground, finding the Amazons and all that. Yeah, just I have no idea where this is going, but very interesting.
Yeah.
How much does this tie into Snyder's?
I don't think it ties into anything. The only thing that it really ties in was the machine that makes the clones of Batman so that there's always a Batman. That was from Snyder's run.
I was reading that trade and I dropped off before Commissioner Gordon puts on the mech suit.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with after that. I think that was really the only point was that machine. And that was like from a special or something. That was Murphy did that story.
I thought that was part of Snyder's, though.
Yeah, I thought that was like towards the end.
It was at the very end.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, because that was the end of the. That's how they brought him back for to defeat Mr. Blossom or whatever.
Oh, right. Bloom. When he had lost his memory and all that after the whole Joker thing.
What else you got? I read Immortal Hulk number 18. Anybody reading that?
Nope.
So that book has a ton of buzz on it, and it is really good, but, like, I do think it's a little overhyped. In this issue, we find out that Doc Samson isn't dead. They kind of left that as a cliffhanger, and at the beginning of the episode, he climbs out of the rubble to the, and meets the, Gamma Force. I'm not super familiar with, but they kind of explain who the people are. It's a lot of people from Hulk's Hulk's background. And in that, Doc Samson, who's kind of like a therapist, he talks about that the Hulk's ultimate plan is to end the world. And then
that's not good.
Yeah. And then they pick up on Bruce Banner, like, in a limo. He's in Nevada. And he's basically inhabited right now by what's his name? Joe Fixit.
Okay.
So, like, that version of the Hulk. So it's that version of the Hulk, but in his body, and he's kind of like going through all these like multiple personalities. And long story short, he squares off with a new version of the Abomination, which has like a hand on its face, very like Cthulhu-y.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. Character design for that new Abomination, but yeah, there's a reveal towards the end that I won't give away. But
okay,
the Abomination is someone very close to him. But that it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. But it's one of those. I do think it is overhyped. Null Fairies number 5.
Okay, good.
Anybody else read that?
Just the first one.
Just the first one? Okay. I am liking that. It's coming up on the sixth issue here. But in that, it's the, what is she? She's the Inquisitor, I think is what they call her. The one who's lost her eye to the magic sword in the first issue. Right, you guys.
Yeah, that
I know of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one I read. So I don't. And I read it 3 months before it came out.
Right.
So it was
okay. So that would have been like 8 months ago, then. Right? A while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, she has located where the fairy dust went, and it's with a human who's somewhat of a wizard. But this you kind of. They reveal that this is set sort of in the like early 1920s.
Okay.
So she's in this episode she gets caught by this wizard who's using the fairy dust to have, and he's not really a wizard, he's more like a Tesla type of character. But that series has been good.
He's not a wizard, Harry.
No.
You're a wizard, Harry.
They reference like Merlin. They're like, oh no, okay. no humans have had it since Merlin, and so there's a lot of. I wish this series was an ongoing. Like, I'm a little disappointed that there's only one issue. I think a lot of that though is they don't accomplish a lot in the panels, so it's a little slow.
Okay,
like I think you could. You know, tighten those panels up a little bit and tell the story a little faster. But I feel like it's going to be a little rushed in this next sixth issue. But I do think he had plans on doing more of it if it's successful, though, right? So
hopefully.
Let's see, Spawn 297.
Yep.
Did you read that?
300.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah. Yep, I've read every issue of Spawn. It took a while, but
you've been buying it in issues, or
well, like I when I like got it on steady, it was for like in like the 150s or something like that, and then it wasn't like hard to go back and get you know the back issues and stuff like that. But then once I did that, then I went and like reread up until you know I was current again, and then just what I've been doing recently is like I will literally almost wait until like. I'll keep on getting them until I have, like, a backlog of, like, 10 of them.
Yeah.
And then just when I have some free time, just, like...
Plow through them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I read 296 and 297. Like, I picked up on it because I follow Todd McFarlane on social media, and he's good at hyping the crap out of him. I feel the Image guys are, like, made for social media. But this... This was, like, barely a comic book.
Okay. Yeah, these past two issues are literally just, like, splashes of just, like, hey, this is the stuff that he's done, you know, and to just try to keep you up to date with stuff.
It felt like prose, just, like, on a pin-up. So, and just reading it, and I've read anything since, like, I read, like, the first eight issues of Spawn, something like that, when it came out years ago, and I'm just kind of curious, but, The whole thing is exposition from what's his name, Cagliostro.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's basically explaining why Spawn has a leg up on heaven and hell, and why he's different than all the other Spawns. But like, he doesn't really know that he's that. So it's sort of like it feels to me, having not read it, like it's just total retcon,
they've retconned you know multiple times throughout the thing, you know, throughout a trend kind of, and like I said, I think, and too, I feel like this is just a little bit more also just kind of like padding to get like, you know, these are just two, you know, I don't want to throw away issues, but you know, to people who the couple people that have been reading it, like they know all this stuff already for the most part, or they might have forgot. But yeah, I think it's just kind of padding to get to, you know, to get to the 300th issue.
I'm going to read through 300, but I don't know. It's not. I haven't been impressed with the 96 and 97 or 296 and 297. Thor 13? No?
No.
This is a tie-in to War of the Realms. In it, Odin has sent Kull Borson, his brother, to stop the Black Bifrost. So you learn that the Bifrost runs on these magic mushrooms.
Mm.
So he goes into the
It's okay, it makes sense.
So it runs on rainbow magic mushrooms, basically. So he goes into the Bifrost is like super heavily guarded, but where they get the magic mushrooms from in the swamp is not. So he goes into the swamp, rescues the elves who've been enslaved to mine these magic mushrooms, and in doing so, he dies. But then at the end of the book, we catch back up with where War of the Realms is, where Freya is protecting the Black Bifrost, which they're going to need because they have to get the heroes from all around the different realms. And at the end of it, all the the elves that he freed have like come to support Freya, which is it was a good tie-in. It was very self-contained. There's a lot of background in it of Cull and who he was, that kind of thing. And but that was pretty good.
I've heard that the War of the Realms has actually been pretty good, yeah. Like as a series wise.
Yeah, I'm digging the War of the Realms. I'm not reading all of the tie-ins. I think the tie-ins, they're like, there's too many of them.
Yeah.
Especially when they're like one of three and stuff like that. Some of those that were, if there were one of threes, if they were just a one shot, I probably would have picked them up because I am liking it that much. But I'm not reading like.
I like that as somebody who's not getting the series because like they've done like an Uncanny X-Men miniseries, but it's not, even though that it has like the same writer, it doesn't take over the Uncanny X-Men book. It's just like this other thing that you can get if you're reading both or whatever. Yeah.
I was reading Thor.
Yeah.
And it's taken over Avengers too. So, but those are both Jason Aaron books. Yeah. So, one that I really liked, X-23. So, I don't know. I think I'm the only one reading X-23. But,
I probably sold three or four more copies. It's not just
but that. X-23 is my favorite book right now. Like, that really? That is...
Is, who's writing that? Is it...
is it Tamako. Tom?
Okay.
I'm sure I'm butchering his name.
I think it's a lady, actually.
Is it a...
Yeah, I don't know the name, but... Yeah.
It's like Mariko Tamako? Well, in this one... So, just as a little background on the series, they have, it's Laura Kinney and Gabby, the honey badger, and, there's been the series so far has talked a lot about, like, how they were cloned, so there's a lot of, like, clones that, have been, like, the last arc was about they basically, destroyed like a factory of clones and one of the clones they had like kind of turned to their side.
Okay.
So Gabby views all these clones as sort of like, hey, we need to save these clones because they're kind of our sisters, like we have this sisterly relationship, so we need to save these clones. And then Laura's like, you know, no, that we like that's not the case, like they're not us, they're genetically, you know, like they're defective, like their healing factor doesn't work.
Okay.
So I feel like that arc was intended to be like six issues probably, and it kind of got cut short probably when this news of the X-Men getting killed happened. So the last two issues have been basically kind of like a tie-off, and I feel like in this episode, or issue, I keep saying episode, but Tomiko, the writer, I think there's like some shade thrown at Marvel.
Okay.
Because... The plot of this one, they're going to Gabby has left like in frustration with Laura not wanting to save all the clones, so she has basically gone and hopped on a train that is full with clones. But then when they get to the clones, they're not clones of X-23, they are turkeys that have like the X-23 clone and that gene. So in my mind, this was like sort of I felt it was like kind of a commentary on the situation at Marvel,
okay.
Maybe with the X-books that like, you know, they're trying to rescue like a train full of turkeys kind of thing. And like, I found that funny, just a wit. Like, I don't know if it was intentional or not. It was very subtle. It wasn't like, but that was a good way to end the series because it was very like. Because the series has been, like, it's been funny, and Gabby's a very funny character, like, and from this series, I would say that, like, Laura right now is much more interesting than Wolverine. But,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I read Hellboy, Lobster Johnson.
Okay.
I don't want to take over too much of the conversation, but, that was terrible. That's all I'll say about that. And then X-Men Grand Design. The Extinction. So, I don't know. That I didn't read the X-Men during the 80s at that time.
Okay.
So, like, never read that. So, like, this is completely new to me. And it wasn't great. But.
Yeah, I haven't read any of those.
No. Okay. Heroes in Crisis.
That's going to be a fun discussion.
Yeah. I was disappointed with the series. I felt that it stuck the landing, but
it meandered too much along the way, and then everything felt rushed at the end.
Yeah, it was the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Where I thought there was a lot to tie up, and they rushed to get there. You know, essentially, Wally was trying to pay for losing control of his powers, and was it Booster, Harley,
Beetle?
Yeah, Blue Beetle and Batgirl are all like, "Hey, it's okay." Well, no, not really. You still killed people.
Yeah, but he didn't mean to.
Okay.
I think it was more the covering it up end.
That's you didn't mean to, but then you chopped up and got rid of the body. That's
those things happen.
Yeah, as one does. But no, I can't say that the whole thing was horrible.
Should I read it in trade?
Yes, I think it's going to read great in trade. I think it just didn't work in issues.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't that it was delayed or anything like it. Just, there's a disconnect where I think maybe if you read it all at once.
Yeah. It's kind of like the opposite effect of, like, his Mr. Miracle, where you think that it, because you guys are said it'd probably read better in the single issues than trying to read it in trades.
Yeah. Well, in part, I think, and see, it's even harder now because if I went and did that today, I'd have all 12 issues in front of me. But that anticipation that builds between issues on Mr. Miracle was great.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of like a regular episode of TV where it ends on a cliffhanger. Like, man, I can't wait to see what happens next week. Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy Harley kicking Wally in the nuts because he killed Poison Ivy.
Brought her back though. Or help? Didn't he help bring her back?
Yeah. Well, she's connected kind of to the green.
But it was it was good. And like when you think back on it and all the things that happened, it all made sense. But just it was a little unsatisfying.
Well, I was gonna say that because like I watched a video of somebody like trying to explain it, and I think they had a good point. They brought up that like the way DC marketed this book too, they marketed it as like this big event thing, to where actually it was just kind of like a recentering of like Wally West to try and you know just more of a smaller contained story other than this huge thing that's supposed to have like this ripple across the whole universe.
Well, I think the other problem, and I've said this before, Tom King is real good at character moments. He's not good at world building. And this was a world-building story. And I think that's where he had the problems. You know, the idea of Sanctuary, while good, was poorly executed.
And the fact that that wasn't even, like, Sanctuary was how they brought up before the series even started. Like, it got mentioned a couple times. Like, I think it would have been better if they, like, played with that and seeded it like a little bit more, so whenever we actually got to this, we would have more of an impact and understanding of.
Yeah, or you know, go a full 12 issues maybe, and spend a little bit of time with Wally going through therapy.
Yeah.
So, maybe not Wally, maybe a different character going through therapy. I think it would have had more impact because it, you know, the tidbits you get in the book. It seems like Sanctuary doesn't work and never worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think if you would have shown maybe a success story of it.
Well, the Robins in that last issue were fantastic.
Yeah, I did like how like those like little.
It was like the Beatles almost. Yeah. But yeah, I would have shown, you know, a success story of the Sanctuary, so you can kind of understand, okay, this is why they're doing it, because this therapy is actually working for people. It just, Wally lost it, as opposed to it almost felt like it just never worked. So, I don't know.
So, one of the reasons why I didn't pick this up was because I read a little bit about it, but so Mr. Miracle, like a lot of the themes of that are PTSD and trauma, right? like, is this just more of that? Because to me, like, in DC, Crisis means one thing, and I think...
Yeah.
I feel
right,
like
this was
the
more...
The way they've used it
yeah.
is more, like,
yeah.
an emotional...
I think this is Tom King, because of the job he used to do and where he used to do it. Mm-hmm. This is his therapy, is being able to kind of write how people that deal with this day in and day out deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And it, a lot of it had to do because he didn't have, like... Because before the whole New 52 and stuff, while he had this whole family, he kind of had, like, it all. And now when he came back, like, his whole entire family was gone, and he felt, like, so alone.
Yeah.
That, so how does he, like, deal with that, like, in that depression and that kind of, those kind of issues?
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think, and, you know, Tom King's not writing Flash, so this yeah. isn't on Tom King, but I don't think... since Rebirth started, they've done a really good job of dealing with that to begin with.
Yeah, dealing with the whole Wally thing.
You know, because Barry is the Flash. And that's the thing. I mean, when Wally was the Flash, Barry wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... You know, where now you have two Flashes, and I don't know how they manage that.
So, is it better if you've read Flash leading it?
No, not at all. If you know who Wally West is, and you know he
and this is the black version.
No, this is actual. This is the original Wally West.
Wally West, not Wallace West.
Oh, is that his name?
I'm pretty sure. Like they call like in the new one, they a lot of time refer to him as Wallace instead of like Wally.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not the kid.
Then I don't know that version. I'm not a huge Flash fan. I read the first trade of Rebirth with the Flash Rebirth, but
well, that was Barry Allen.
Yeah, but the
Wally was in it. It's that Wally, the red haired Wally, who actually, if you remember the Justice League cartoon, was part of the Tim the Bruce Timverse. That was Wally West.
Okay. See, if you like the TV show, a lot of this stuff is based off of the Wally West. Stuff from
They actually had Barry Allen date Linda Park at one point.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was okay. I think it stuck the landing, but
at least it looked pretty too.
The art was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh yeah,
and it was throughout.
And I'm excited that now he's going to be doing that. He's the artist on he's going to be the artist on Batman Catwoman.
Who is that?
Clay Mann.
Yeah, because that's the one thing I love about this Batman run is Clay Mann, Lee Weeks. Just the artists throughout have been fantastic.
Yeah.
The issue that comes out today was a combination of I forget the one guy doing the old one that looks like Mazzucchelli, which is fantastic, and
Spencer.
No, I got it.
Right. You thought you had it.
No, I do. Sorry. Here we go. Mikael Janin and Jorge Fornes. Jorge is this, you know, the Batman Year One.
Okay, yeah.
Look, and then Mikael Janin is just, he's been, but I mean, that's the Fornes, mm-hmm. which is just fantastic, but then that, Mikael Janin, I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All
right, now stop flipping through it, because I haven't read it yet.
No, but I'm just,
Oh, look what happened in the last game.
No, but just the artists that he's had on the Batman run have just been fantastic, which really shows how good DC is as far as what talent they have. Where a lot of, like, I had one guy really complaining about the Luke Skywalker book that came out today, because it's like they're just kind of Marvel's throwing whoever they have to do these little one-shots just to get them out, where I think, like, the Batman has really been well-crafted.
Well, at the same time, you don't know who you have unless you give them the opportunity to do something.
True,
and that's
true.
Well, and, too, with the Star Wars 2 thing, that they might have kind of screwed themselves on that, because when they first launched everything, that's when they had, like, everybody, like, all their, like, you know, like A-listers, and then, you know, eventually you have to get them off to, you know, do other work.
Do other things, yeah.
Do you? Like, if...
Apparently,
Star Wars is a big seller, right? Because...
Well, I don't know what it's selling now, though.
Yeah.
I never got... that. I kind of stayed away from all those. I didn't need another, like, section of book things to get.
I don't know, but I feel like right now the Star Wars comics are better than the movies, so... I don't know. I just think... I agree with you. They came out really strong with that Star Wars line, and now I think it's kind of just fallen apart a bit.
I read Detective Annual, and yeah. I can't remember what the hell it was about.
I didn't like it. I just read it today. It was thin. He went to Europe, and it was the Reaper story.
Yeah, that's right. Because it reminded me of the Phantasm from
I could see that.
But it was thin. It didn't really go anywhere. Because when I think back to the one like that Tom Taylor did, where it was kind of a day in the life of Alfred,
that was
really good. This one, I just, like there was that whole scene where he was with that girl, and then it didn't lead to anything.
No, and that's the reason why I thought it was Mask of the Phantasm was because it's very similar to the storyline in that where she was actually the Phantasm the whole time.
And then there's like a network of Reapers now or something.
Yeah,
I think.
Like Reaper International instead of Batman, or Reaper Incorporated instead of Batman Incorporated, and like they went to like the old Incorporated headquarters and they had equipment there. And okay,
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean it was fine, but it wasn't great. And the last one I read was Doomsday Clock.
Yeah, baby. My review on this for when people asked about it, I said, this reminded me why I love comics.
Okay.
That book just really had everything. It was basically Dr. Manhattan explaining why Superman is the key to the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
The little things I loved as he was going back through time and touching on different dates. And then when you look, the dates corresponded to Action One.
I didn't say, those like
then,
the release
then
dates?
Then the Silver Age. Mm-hmm. Then Man of Steel by John Byrne. Then New 52. And it had the action costume by Grant Morrison. And then it had the Superman costume designed by Jim Lee. And basically touching on it and how in the Silver Age the parents were dead. Yet in Man of Steel the parents were back. And it was touching on all those things. I thought that was so cool. Then it also brought in the Justice Society, and they explained why he took the lantern, moved the lantern out of the reach of Alan Scott so he died.
Mm-hmm.
And because Alan Scott was the key impetus for forming the Justice Society, and by doing that, then the Justice Society wasn't created.
Formed.
Also then in the future kept the Legion from being created. I thought it was just fascinating. I also have a soft spot in my heart for Nathaniel Dusk, which was kind of the play in the background that was going on, because that was a great Gene Colan book that was like mostly a Sam Spade type of book.
Okay.
But, and that's not important, but it was a Sam Spade book. Gene Colan, it was his pencils that they colored. It was beautiful. I asked them if they could put it out as a trade, and they said no, because the files aren't good because it was just the pencils. It was never inked.
Okay.
But I just thought that was neat. That was almost tying into like a Sandman type story where he kept seeing this guy every year.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was neat.
He was like, he would tell him, okay, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
to you
and then the next
months.
Year he's famous and everything. Yeah. I just thought that was really cool.
How many pages was this?
Just a regular size comic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was packed with stuff. I thought it was fascinating.
It helps when you have all the
grids.
Yeah, the 9-panel grids.
Yeah.
But you can understand why this one took so long to do, because there was so much going on. I loved where they're sitting in the restaurant, and then all of a sudden there's this report of this guy picking up this
car and smashing it
into a rock.
And it was the car from Action One.
Yep. And one of my favorite scenes, it wasn't super important, but he's talking about Superman. and how Superman's even important 1,000 years in the future, and you turn the page and it's basically the cover of Adventure 247 of him meeting the Legion. Yeah. And it was just basically a book of how important Superman is and Dr. Manhattan realizing that he is basically turned into the villain of the story,
mm-hmm.
because he's he can't see the future anymore, and he's kind of trying to stop Superman. I love the scene where the heroes in the present were trying to stop him, and he had to go and stop them and basically say, no, I need you not to be powered. That issue was just so good.
The only thing I would have liked to have seen that could have maybe changed things up would have been to bring in Red Sun Superman. Because he already touched on the idea of multiverse.
Yeah.
And there's a case where, I can manipulate Superman without manipulating
him. They changed the title. They changed what it was called.
Metaverse.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
All the multiverse spring out of.
Yeah, but he basically took the DC history and just went, oh, hang on, turn, now look at it this way. Oh.
Yeah.
But that I just love John's
opens it up for so anybody can do like any kind of thing.
Oh, that was like worth every minute we had to wait for it.
John's can because he is so steeped in knowledge of the DC. I wouldn't let 90% of DC's writers try that.
No, but that was so good.
But I mean like in the future to tell like opening up to tell new different other kind of stories.
Yeah.
Not be tied so much to continuity.
Yeah.
No, but it absolutely excellent.
Yeah. I thought that was fantastic.
So what was Lord Retail's question?
Just
did we like it?
His question was just it just says, same question regarding Doomsday Clock and your perspective as an experienced reader, especially the meta elements. I think it works for somebody who doesn't get all the little touches, but I think for somebody, like I said, the dates, understanding Man of Steel came out at that date and about the parents being alive and stuff, I think it just worked on a lot of levels.
The dates.
Yes, because I was because it was like 19. That's what I was.
I was like, okay, that's.
Right. I wrote them down. I was going to look them up to see what they corresponded to, but it was, the 1956, which would be Showcase.
Okay.
1986 would have been Man of Steel right after Crisis. And then, like I said, he had the costume where he had the action by Morrison, the T-shirt costume, and then you had the new 52 costume. I love the little scene with Wally confronting him and him kind of doing like that, which then caused, because when they said it tied into Heroes in Crisis, it's like kind of loosely, but that's what caused Wally's problems, was him kind of making him go away. Yeah. So
it was just I wonder if Wally remembers that. Like, they don't.
Who knows?
He remembered it at the beginning of Rebirth.
But, does he know, Dr. Manhattan, or is it just like this figure?
I think he knows him more as a figure than, I don't think he knows it's Dr. Manhattan.
Hey, there's this blue naked guy mucking around things.
And I did when they went into the diner, it was, but you're big blue and naked. Yeah. Oh, no, she'll only see what I want her to say.
Yeah, but I.
And then
that totally sold me on the entire book, and I can't wait for the hardcover to come out. I don't want the 6-issue ones. I want the big, complete,
the ultimate, absolute version, whatever.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those books that I can sell forever.
The cover with the kid reading the
and the kid who's reading is the actor.
Yeah,
because it was his name was on the mailbox, and then the whole story with that where he wasn't who he portrayed. And his mom was blackmailing him and actually murdered him. But then at the end, his eyes open. It just, where's this going? I don't know.
And I'm assuming you read the backup stuff, the letter. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he, basically saying he's not who he was. Yeah. Oh. I enjoyed that very, very much.
So that's why I read Colin.
Spencer.
Fantastic Four, number 10. This was a War of the Realms tie-in. It didn't have much to do with it. It was just like
Red Sky.
there was some like ogres, and then like they showed up because apparently Val was trying to, she's working on, like, this, I want to say, it's not Sally, but, like, this contraption on the roof that kind of helped boost her, her cell signal so she could call and talk to, all the rest of the, Future Foundation kids, because they're still kind of, like, off exploring and stuff where they're back home now, and because of that signal brought the, like, the ogres and everything, and so, like, you know, they're finding them for a couple minutes, they figure out what's causing it, they destroy it, then they eventually leave, and while they leave, the Fantastic Four proper thing, Human Torch, Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, they kind of go off to help, leaving Franklin, Val, Dever Dinosaur, and the little girl who, you know, is with Dever Dinosaur, like, they're there to kind of, like, to protect, like, Yonge Street, because that's where they live now, and to just kind of keep an eye on that. It's just kind of like a one, like, I don't think the next issue is tying into anything else. I think it's just kind of back to its normal, you know, thing, but...
How's Fantastic Four been? Because I dropped it after, I think, issue 5.
It's all right.
Once great
it,
wedding issue?
Yeah. Once it kind of, like, the Doom stuff got kind of good. It's just, I think it's still having trouble getting its feeling, because they brought it back. And then they immediately brought it back, and then they did the wedding stuff, and, like, so...
It seems like it's late, it's not even being promoted, it's just kind of there. Yeah. Nobody, there's no buzz, nobody's talking about it.
I feel like I dropped that, like, a year ago, and they're only...
On issue 10. Yeah. So, like, I'm hoping that, you know, here soon they can kind of just get back to kind of telling some more... Fantastic Four stories.
Well, I remember it got late, and then we got, like, 3 issues in 6 weeks, and they had all these artist changes.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where they did, like, the Bachelor Party issue.
Yeah.
And I was suckered into buying that. Yeah. And, like,
and it was nothing.
If they just would have made that a regular issue.
Yeah.
Just,
like, but then, like, we were talking about before the episode that, like, we went from having no Fantastic Four for so long, and now there's, like, four different Fantastic Four books that are coming out now, so I don't know, but I still kind of feel like as long as they're putting out a Fantastic Four book that's halfway decent, I kind of want to try to keep on with it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 94.
Heroes in the Half Show?
Yes, Totopow.
I'm reading this series in trade.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I'm on, like, the fourth trade, so I'm like, Go ahead and spoil anything, because I'll completely forget it.
Have you been enjoying, though, what you've read?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. And I picked up a bunch of the, like, I think I have, like, through trade 20.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm planning on reading that. Nice. I picked it up at one of the sales.
Yeah, I've been loving this series since they started years ago. I've always said if you've ever been a fan of the Ninja Turtles, like, in any incarnation, you should check out this book, because it does such a good job of tying all the different kind of mediums and stuff together. But this issue, they get the girl who got stabbed in the last issue to Howard's lab to try to work on her, because in the last issue they tried to take her to the hospital, but they got ambushed. So that was, like, the next closest place that they could go. But they have to get one of the people from the Manables to help with the procedure. So Raph and Casey go to pick her up, and while they do that, they're about to go start on their own mission. And Raph decides that he's gonna help them. You know, he tells Casey to go take her back to, you know, help, you know, with the person that's hurt, and he's gonna go with the Manimals, with Old Herb and all them, because they are, because he's angry, and they're getting ready to, like, they're going on the, like, on the attack. They're taking the offensive, and it's, they pick up a, it's a lab where they have all this mutant, like, DNA and stuff, where they're, like, working to make, like, an army of mutants, so, like, they're stealing that data, and they're not quite sure what the plan is to do with that, but this is still a lot of, like, because, you know, this is the all-out war, so it's still, like, a lot of just kind of, like, these multiple groups are, like, spying on this people, and just everybody's, trying to make their moves very, like, chess gamey, like, everybody's just trying to get their pieces into place, but it's been pretty good. And then, Haunted High One's number two, this is that miniseries from Source Point Press. This issue opens up with the doctor that Jamie and Paul met at the end of the last issue, explaining the darkness is and how it's able to creep into some people and not others, and how it can make them do these horrible acts, and how some people have the ability to see this stuff, and most don't.
This is like a horror book.
It's like a...
It's a sci-fi, like...
It's a horror, but it's also kind of like a buddy comedy. Like, it's not, it's not like extreme humor. Like, there's not like, you know, heads getting cut off, but there's like ghosts and like, it's the art, and it's very, it's really nice looking. But so, like I said, they have like the ability to see these things, so they have this like kind of female ghost partner who is having a bad feeling about this doctor who wants to like train them to fight this darkness, and they get into a big argument and they leave, and Jamie and Paul meet up with this doctor at this house, and it turns out that he's not quite what he seems, and he captures one of them, the other one gets a chance to escape. And so that's where it kind of ends, with like the other one running away to get help, which I'm assuming is going to be from the ghost. So, but like I said, the characters are loosely based off of the rap group Twisted. So like, if you're like a fan of like their kind of stuff, you'd probably like this just because you like them. But even if you're not like familiar with any of their kind of music and stuff, it's still, like I said, just a fun kind of like stupid buddy horror kind of story. It's just, four or five part miniseries. So, but that is it.
That's all you got? Okay.
That's all I got.
Killer Groove number one. This is from Aftershock. Basically, it's the story of it's set in the 70s, and it's a struggling musician who is one day is walking down the alley, and some guy's like roughing up another guy in the alley, and he pulls out a gun, and he's about to shoot the guy, and he kind of interferes, hit the guy with his guitar case, which kind of got him off balance, and then the guy that he was going to kill stabbed him in the neck, and he died. And it turns out it was a hit, and the guy who was being attacked is actually with the mob, so now he kind of owes him. So now it's looking like this struggling musician is now going to be working with the mob. So it's just kind of interesting. There wasn't a ton of story to it, but it was just an interesting kind of setup where this guy who's kind of struggling now is working for the mob. So it was neat. Neat little book. But yeah, it could have been a little more in-depth.
Who put that out?
Aftershock. Another one...
They're not the $1.50 company.
Right? No, that's Alterna.
Alterna, yeah. Okay.
She Said Destroy, which is a new one from Vault. I did not care for it at all. It just wasn't clear. They're just throwing out all these names, but without establishing who these people are, and I just never felt I had my feet under me and really understanding what was going on. I had an idea of the plot from the solicit, which is basically there's these two sisters who are gods, and one has convinced like the entire universe to believe in her, except this one little outpost that is worshipped by her sister, and her sister is like the god of death, and so they're kind of going to war. But as you're reading it, you're never figuring out who is who, and it was just very confusing. I found it very, very confusing and did not love it. And then the last one I read was a big one. It was the Superman Leviathan Special. I thought it was really, really good. It's setting up the whole Leviathan storyline, spinning out of Action, which I haven't read. But I thought it was really good. Starts off with some lady meets Leviathan, who has this cloaking thing on his face so you can't see who he is, just discussing what to do about Superman, and she mentions going after... Don't try to go face Superman head-on. You know, go after someone that's important to him, but not Lois Lane, because she's a lot tougher and more resourceful than you anticipate. And basically they decide to kidnap Clark Kent, not knowing that Clark Kent is Superman. So they do that, and Superman, you know, Clark realizes that they're going to try, you know, somebody's in his apartment ready to kidnap him, and decides to go along with it just to see what's going on. And he does, and it ends up that they then put on this vest of kryptonite, so he's actually weakened, but they did that to trap Superman when he came to save him. And then it leads into a kind of promo for Lois Lane, where Lois calls in, she knows something's wrong, and she calls in the Justice League, and there's an interesting little meeting between her and Batman, setting up the Lois Lane books. That looks really good. There's a little setup for Jimmy Olsen that was hilarious, because he is actually on a book tour, and he's in Gorilla City, and it opened, and his story opens up where he wakes up, and there's some lady in his bed. They're both naked, and she has a ring on her finger, like they got married. And turns out she's like this interdimensional thief. and it's just kind of funny because she mentions that while he was out, she found a cat, and she put it in the bathroom, and please take that to a no-kill shelter, and she leaves, throwing the ring back at him. He then goes in and sees his clothes are in the bathroom, and they've all been shredded. And as he tries to get them, the cat kind of attacks him, and he reaches in the pocket, and she had left a note in the pocket just basically saying sorry about this. And then all of a sudden the cat starts vomiting blood all over the hotel room and just coating everything. And you're kind of like, what the heck is this? Then a little bit later, because Lois had called in the Justice League and everything, everybody shows up, including Jimmy Olsen is there with the cat. And it's actually Dexter, the Red Lantern, that I didn't get until you saw it in the costume. And it was hilarious when you realize who it was. Then it kind of clicks. Okay, that explains the vomiting blood and everything.
So is it Dexter's ring? Or Dexter's
ring? No, it's Dexter is there. That was the cat.
Good kid.
Yeah, yeah. So that was just hilarious. Then at that point, it's like, what the hell? So that was just very... I'm looking forward to both those books now because I thought they were nice little teasers. The one part that did not work at all was the Supergirl little part, because I had no clue who these people she were talking about, and they went missing, and she's talking about them, but I had no idea who they were, their relationships.
Because you're not reading the Supergirl book.
And it should have had a little blurb explaining who they were, because I was completely lost. You're reading it, you're not getting any, and it was just more a case of, okay, I just need to keep going and get past it.
Yeah.
I thought that part was really a miss. But overall, I thought it was really good.
What about anything with the question? Because I saw that he was on the
question,
cover.
No, the question I did not see, the question wasn't in it. It was neat in the Supergirl part, Manhunter was. So I thought that was deep, but didn't really... It was just kind of... She was in the background.
Okay.
But overall, very interesting, and Event Leviathan comes out next week, and I'm excited to read this, and I actually want to go back and read the action issues that tie into it. So overall, I was impressed. I thought it was a really good setup to this, and I thought, you know, well worth the... It was a $10 book, but there was a lot in there.
Okay.
So I thought it was really good.
But what's coming out next week?
That's all I got. Coming out next... It's another really good week. We have Age of X-Men, Marvelous X-Men. I'm pointing this one out only because that's the last issue. These are going to start wrapping up because with X-Men relaunching in July. Spider-Man 23, which is the start of the next story arc. For Dave, Archie 705, which is part one of Archie and Sabrina. Also, Archie and Friends Beach Party is next week. I know Dave's giddy, but he's not here to tell you how giddy he is about these. As Guardians of the Galaxy 10 is a War of the Realms tie-in. We have Banjax number 1. This is from Action Lab. Just an interesting concept. I forget exactly what it was, but it's kind of a deconstruction of superheroes. And I remember it was something combined with Watchmen, just kind of taking superheroes and turning it on its head.
I read something about this. Banjax is like a term for something, and
yeah.
just be very cryptic and vague on this.
There you go.
But it's like a. It's gonna kill me. I'll remember it when I'm driving home.
That's okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Batman: The Outsiders number 2. It seemed like this was a little late, so I'm happy that's coming out.
Well, the whole series.
Right. It is. Batman Black and White. Blind Bag minifigures is coming out. This first series did really well. I'm really happy with how those sold. So this is volume number 2. We're also finally getting the actual display, which is nice, instead of the cheesy box that they came in. Batman Who Laughs number 6, which is funny. It says 6 of 6, but it's actually 7.
Ha, ha, ha.
Boys Omnibus volume 2, yay. I'm happy they're getting these out before the show comes out. Bronze Age Boogie number 3 for me and Dave. Champions number 6 is a War of the Realms tie-in. Detective 1005, Event Leviathan, part 1 of 6, that's tying into the Superman storyline. Giant Man number 3 for Mike, because I know he's loving that book. Glow number 2, finally, that one does seem a little bit late. Jughead Time Police, for Dave, the setup for this was hilarious.
Time Cop?
No. Well, what happens is, I just love this setup, it's so Jughead. So Jughead enters the county fair pie contest and does so bad that he is banned from ever entering again. And he is so embarrassed by how bad that was, the only solution he has to fix it is to go back in time so that doesn't happen. But sadly, by going back in time, he messed stuff up, so now he has to go back and fix the time stream. So I just thought that was pretty funny. Life and Death of Toyo Harada, 4 of 6, that's for Josh. Null Fairies, number 6, for Brandon. Prodigy, 6 of 6, so that's ending this Mark Miller book. Red Sonja, Birth of the She-Devil, number 1, which is telling Red Sonja's origin.
Who's writing that?
I don't remember. Sorry.
Red Sonja's hit or miss.
Yeah, it's not Russell, it's somebody else. Silver Surfer Black is coming out. This is Donnie Cates, which is supposed to be really good. There's a special Comics Pro variant coming out on this, so
it's really pretty. Black.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, what happened at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy is the heroes all went into this like black hole or wormhole and got kicked out everywhere, and this is Silver Surfer trying to get back to where he belongs.
Because it's just a one shot, isn't it?
No, it's five parts.
Oh,
it's a little
mini series.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I feel like I'm trying to read everything Donnie Cates is putting out because I think he's the best thing in Marvel right now.
And my understanding is this kind of ties a little bit to Venom.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was telling Tim, I just finished the second volume of the Venom run, and now I'm trying to figure out like if I just still want to trade weight on it or if I want to try to jump onto single issues with it or what I want to do.
So, you can skip the War of the Realms stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's a different Venom.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's... So, Malekith takes the symbiote off of Eddie and kind of makes it like a dog thingy.
The last I read was like it ended with like the symbiote already left on its own and like walked away and left him with Eddie and
but
his brother son.
Yeah. So
rolling around like a turd in the wind.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying Venom. Yeah. So trade weight, but like if you were gonna jump on, wait till those War of the Realms times are over.
Sonata number 1, this is a new one from Image and Brian Haberlin. Concept between this one is two different races feel that this one planet is like the promised land, and one is a warrior race and the other one's a very peace-loving race. And
I got money on the warrior race.
Right, except the inhabitants of this planet are these giants that live underground, and Sonata is a local who lives there, and to protect the planet, she gets those giants to come up to kind of do stuff. It's Brian Haberlin. He used to do Spawn, and he does this real fancy digital, almost painted look, so this should be really pretty, if nothing else. Spider-Man Life Story number 4, this one's doing really well. Star Wars Darth Vader or Vader Dark Visions, the last issue of that. Tim has been really loving that one. Trustfall, this is another one from Aftershock. This is kind of interesting. There's this lady who has the ability to teleport things, but not herself. and she gets in. She has like this crime family, so she can like go in the bank vault, teleport all the money out, but then she has to rely on someone else to get her out of there, out of that situation. So she has to trust them to save her, and that's where the trust fall comes in. And as she gets more powerful and more prestigious, some people are jealous of her, so they might not save her and let her take the fall for it. So, Venom 15 is a War of Realms tie-in, and then Wonder Twins number 5 of 6 by the friend of the podcast and beloved Mark Russell. Not a friend of the podcast, but we really like his stuff.
Yeah. If he would like to be a friend, we'd be a
friend. I would love him to be a friend of the podcast.
So I looked at Banjax.
Okay.
It's Irish slang to ruin, incapacitate, break, beat to hell, or destroy a mess or undesirable situation made as a result of incompetence. So it's going to drive me crazy.
There you go. So that's what we got.
What's going on with the store?
Store, this month we're doing double points is on Justice League. All Justice League trades. I got to update the website and our little display. We're already into June, and it's like, what happened? Because June 1st was Saturday, and it's like, over. Book club, we're doing Monstrous. It's nice because it's a real big, thick volume, only $9.99, 25% off if you're getting it for book club, and that's going to be on the 28th. That's about it. Keep your eyes open. I'm going to do a sale for Father's Day, so that weekend we'll do a sale. I think that's really about it.
So you don't have to be a father to take advantage of the sale, of course not.
Okay. That would be wrong. And, you know, you might not know if you're a father. I'm going to let that go. You don't have to prove, you know, you don't have to bring me pictures of your kids. So I think that's all
people wanted to bring you pictures.
I'd be happy to see the pictures.
How could they find you?
Right. You just bring them to the store, or you can email them to me. You can, you know, send them to the website. It's Pittsburgh Comics. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics, and Twitter and Instagram are at PGH Comics. So, I think that's all we got. Let's see. Spencer.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.